I want to go right into what I say when I lead someone to Christ. I think it's important that we hear the plan of salvation in a very simple form. And so today we're going to go right to as if I'm going to win someone to Christ. And Brother Shelton's going to help me. He's going to come up here and he's going to be my lost person. Amen. And so I'm just going to act as if I would act. And we have up on the screen for you things I'm going to say. So as we get started, hi there, how you doing?
Hey.
My name's Doug Markle. I'm from Central Park Baptist Church. You know, over here so I can...
Okay.
Central Park Baptist Church, over on East Jackson Road. We're just out inviting folks to church, and I just want to invite you to church. Do you get to go to church anywhere?
No, I don't go to church.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You're the kind of person I'm looking for. I want to invite someone to church that doesn't get to go. Not out to steal anybody from their churches. Have you lived here a long time?
Yeah, I've been here for a couple of years. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Colorado.
Colorado, is that right?
Yeah.
It gets cold up in Colorado.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful country. I remember the first time I went up into the mountains in Colorado. It was breathtaking to see all the beautiful hills and mountains that are up there. And there's no hills there. There's just mountains. But it's beautiful. Do you miss it?
Yes, I miss it a lot. Not any mountains around here.
No, it's very flat, but we get real bad weather here sometimes. Like the other day, we got some bad storms that came through.
Yeah.
Did you get hit by hail?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, good. Listen, I just wanted to stop and invite folks to church. I don't want to take any of your time up, but before I go, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?
Well, you know, I don't know if anybody really knows.
Well, that's an honest answer, and I appreciate your honesty. Let me ask this, then. If you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, you would go straight to heaven when you died, would you take his promise?
Yeah.
Can you flip it to the next page? Is the program on? All right. And I didn't get your response because I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
Okay, good. It takes me about 4 minutes to show somebody what I'm talking about. I don't want to take that time unless you have that time. Do you have that time?
Yeah, 4 minutes, yeah.
Okay, great, good. Now I'm going to show you a few things just from the Bible. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe a person. I want you to just show you from the Word of God how you could have God's promise, okay? So understand God's promise. There's about four things that you'll need to know, okay? So I'm going to show you the first one. It says here, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just saying everybody's a sinner. I'm a sinner. Everybody goes to my church is a sinner. And sometime in your lifetime like me, you've probably sinned too.
Yeah, sure.
As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just saying everybody's a sinner. I've been a preacher for a long time, but I'm still a sinner. Because it's not a matter whether you're a preacher or not. It's just a matter of fact that we've sinned. Because we're sinners, one day we're going to die. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Romans 6:23, it says right here, for the wages of sin is death. There's two kinds of death. There's a physical death for a body, and inside each one of us there's a soul, and it can die too. To be honest with you, what was your first name again?
Larry.
Larry, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I apologize. Larry, I got such a bad memory, it's horrible. But Larry, the truth is that all of us are going to die, and I don't explain it very good. And so since I don't explain it very good, I'm just going to let the Bible tell you how to do it, okay? Yeah. So I'm going to show you Revelation 21:8 here, okay? In Revelation chapter 20, I got to get my old man glasses on. You can't see good, you know? So in Revelation 21:8, I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Yes, okay? And that's why you have to be good. Right. Well, you got to be good to go to heaven, right?
It does say this. It says, I'm sure you're not a murderer, right?
No.
Good. You always make me nervous when you're a murderer. I don't know why, but I get nervous around the murderers. I'm sure you're not a whoremonger or a sorcerer or nothing like that, right?
No.
But it does say this one thing right here. It says, all liars. As much as I hate to admit this, I've told me a bucket full of lies in my lifetime. In fact, if the truth was really known, I probably told me a boatload of them. Okay, I have four children, Larry, and I never taught my children how to lie, but they done figured it out. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. You know, Larry, I've been all over the place. I've met all sorts of people, and I've never met someone who's never told a lie. So probably in your lifetime, like me too, you've probably told a lie. Is that right?
Yeah. But they lump us in with the murderers?
Yeah, and so, but that all it does is show qualifications of what sins.
Oh, okay.
See? And it does say all liars. So that does qualify you and I for that second death of hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there.
No.
And Jesus doesn't want you to go there. And since you don't want to go there, and I don't want to go there, and Jesus doesn't want you to go there, let's find out how not to go there, okay?
Okay.
So, the Bible says, are you all caught up with me here? Do I need to turn pages? You're there? Okay. So, let's see what the Bible says. It says here in Romans chapter 5, where we were at earlier, it says in Romans chapter 5, it says verses 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, that's our condition right now, Larry,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Christ died for us. It doesn't say while we were good boys. It says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We just found out the wrath of God was hell, didn't we? And this plainly says we can be saved from that wrath through him, through Jesus. That means I can't save you. I'm just a preacher. Okay? That means my church, Central Park Baptist Church, it can't save you. That means, Larry, you can't save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus, because he's the one that died for us. He paid our sin debt. You know, I'm sure you've heard of John 3:16. A lot of folks have, but let me just tell you what it says.
Yes.
It says that God so loved the world. God loves you so much, Larry, and he loves me so much, that if you and I were the only two people on the whole earth that ever sinned, that ever told that lie and got qualified for that second death, he loves you and I so much that everything Jesus went through, was born, suffered, died on the cross, buried, and then rose again from the dead, he would have done just for you and me. That's how much he loves you.
Amen.
That's how much he loves me. That's an awful lot of love, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
So we've learned three things so far, Larry. We're learned, number one, we're a sinner. We learned, number two, that one of the sins we've done for sure was tell a lie, and that qualified us for hell. Then we learned, number three, that God loves you and I so very much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Somebody had to pay for that sin debt. Somebody had to die. We saw the wages of sin was death. We saw that second death in hell. And so Jesus died to take our place. But he didn't stay dead.
Right.
He buried, and then he was rose from the dead. So you and I can go to heaven. Hey, let me show you that promise now. I said I would, okay? That promise is right here. In Romans chapter 10, it says right here, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means anybody, doesn't it? That means if Larry called upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, Jesus would save Larry. That means if Doug called upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, Jesus would save Doug. That means if anybody... Now, I want to show you what it doesn't say, Larry. It doesn't say whosoever's good, does it?
No, it doesn't say that.
Doesn't say whosoever will go to church, does it?
No.
Doesn't say whosoever's baptized.
No.
Doesn't say whosoever's a Baptist. Doesn't say whosoever's a Methodist.
No.
Doesn't say whosoever was anything except whosoever. So, Larry, this is God telling you and me that if we would call upon his name for the purpose of being saved from that hell, Jesus is promising you and I he'd save us. Now, that's not my promise. Whose promise is it then?
It's God's promise?
God's promise. So since it's not my promise, it's not your promise, you couldn't do that either.
Right.
We find out we have to die. We find out that Jesus took our place. And so if I call upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, Jesus is promising me he'd save me. So we've learned four things. And I'm about done, and I'll be going. I know you got something to do. I got places to go. I need to get down the road. But before I go, let me give you the four things that we've learned. We learned, number one, we're a sinner. We learned, number two, that one of the sins we've done for sure, Larry, was tell a lie. And that qualified us for that second death of hell. But God loves you and I so very much that he doesn't want us to go there. So he died on the cross, was buried and rose again from the dead to pay for our sins. And then number four, if we would call upon Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, God is promising you and I that he would save us. Is that right? Well, Larry, those are the four things that I said I'd show you. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Well, Larry, I'm going to go. But before I go, could I have a word of prayer with you?
Yeah, sure. Because I still have a question. So how do I call on him?
You want to call upon him? Well, I was going to pray for you and ask of the Lord. So let me pray for you, and we'll start that way, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Lord,
I just bow my head.
If you just bow your head and we'll just pray, all right? Dear Jesus, I ask that you do what I cannot do and convince and convict Larry of his need to be saved. I don't want him to go to hell. He doesn't want to go to hell. And Jesus, you died on the cross for him so we would never, ever have to go to hell. So, Holy Spirit, do what I cannot do and work in his heart and in his life to bring conviction upon him to receive you as Savior. Larry, since I can't save you and you can't save you, if you'd be willing to let Jesus save you and you'd be willing to take this promise as your very own, just take your hand and put it on the Bible for me. All right? Either hand, that's you. And then pray with me like this, but don't say anything you don't believe, okay?
Yes.
Just like this. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
The best way I know how.
The best way I know how.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To come in my heart.
To come into my heart.
And take me to heaven.
And take me to heaven.
When I die.
When I die.
I can't save myself.
I can't save myself.
So I'm depending on you.
So I'm depending on you.
To save me.
To save me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Larry, did you just do what just said right here? Did you call upon the name of the Lord to ask him to save you?
Yes.
Then according to the Bible, not according to me, not according to you, not according to a church or a religion, but according to the Word of God, according to God's promise, if you died right now, then where would you go? Where would you go? Heaven or hell?
I'd go to heaven.
And who would take you there? Me, you, or Jesus?
Jesus would take me.
That's right. All right. So let's say, Larry, let's say, how old are you now, Larry?
I'm 50.
50 years old. Wonderful, Larry. Let's say that, Larry, you get to be close to my age, 60 years old, okay? And while you're driving down the road one day, you have a bad accident. And you die in that accident. Now, I don't want you to die, but let's just say you die at the age of 60, 10 years from now. Did you ask Jesus to come in your heart?
Yes, yes.
So then who's in your heart now?
Jesus.
Where are you going to go, heaven or hell?
Well, if I have Jesus in my heart and I called on him, I should go to heaven.
That's exactly right. Now, that's not because I promised it, is that right? That's because God promised it.
Yes,
let me show you another promise. One more promise before I go, okay? I know you got things to do, I got things to do, and I'm going to go. But let me show you one more promise before I go. Okay? It says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How long is never, Larry?
Never is never.
Forever.
Yeah.
Right? Never is forever. So he has said, I will never leave you. Let's just pretend for a moment. Let's just pretend this piece of paper is Jesus and this Bible is your soul. You just asked Jesus to come in your heart or your soul, didn't you?
Yes.
And he came in and he said that he'd take you to where? Heaven. And who's going to take you there? Me, you, or Jesus? This is Jesus. So it's Jesus in your soul. Your soul's inside your body and nobody can see it. The very moment you die, your soul's going to leave your body. Who's in your soul?
Jesus.
Soul. Where does Jesus go? Heaven or hell?
Heaven.
So where are you going to go?
I'm going to go with Jesus.
Because you're good? Or because Jesus is in your heart?
Because I have Jesus.
Because you go to church or because you have Jesus in your heart?
Because I have Jesus.
So if you die 10 years from now in a car accident, you never ever go to church. Who's in your soul?
Jesus.
Where's Jesus going to go? Heaven or hell?
Heaven.
So where are you going?
I'm going to go to heaven.
And who promised that to you?
Jesus promised it to
you. Did I promise it to you?
No.
No, Jesus did. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the most exciting thing to put in there? Good job, Larry. That's wonderful. Now who's in your heart?
Jesus.
Well, let's say, Larry, let's pretend now. Let's say you die 20 years from now at the age of 70. And you ain't got no peace and your hair is all gray and you're just walking with the walker. All right? Just like most of the people here. And I just thought I'd give you a laugh. And so you die 20 years from now. All right? And you did really good and you went to church and then all of a sudden the last few years you didn't go to church. Who's in your soul?
Jesus.
When are you going to leave your soul?
Well,
when did he say?
He said never.
He said never. So 20 years from now, is he still in your soul?
Yes.
So even though maybe you stopped going to church, who's in your soul?
Jesus.
Where does Jesus go, heaven or hell?
Heaven.
So where are you going?
I'm going with Jesus.
That's right, because who's in your heart now?
Jesus.
And when's he going to leave you?
Never.
Never. That is how I go through the plan of salvation with somebody. Now, does that make sense to you? Now, it's very practical. It's not difficult. It's very simple. But there's a reason I do all the things I do. I've explained some of them. Okay? So, thank you, brother. I'm not going to go any further at this point. We're going to stop right there, okay? So, you may have that track. And we'd love to have you come to our services sometimes, Larry.
Okay.
All right, buddy. I'll look for you Sunday.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I hear you have a great
Sunday. Yeah. Let me find out where I'm at here in this system here. When I talk to somebody, I want you to notice some things I do. I call them by their name. I look in their eye. I show them the scriptures. I constantly repeat everything over and over and over again. I think about them personally. That's one of the reasons I call their name. It's to remind me. When I asked them if they wanted to pray, did you notice how I kept saying, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving? Why? Because I do not want them to think I'm staying forever. I twist no arms. I put no pressure on. That is not your job. That is not my job. That is the Holy Spirit's job. So don't put any pressure on anybody. If they don't receive Christ as Savior, you know whose responsibility that is? That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to warn. Here's my job. You ready? My job is to stand at the watchtower and look out. There's the enemy over there! 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 It's not my job to send out the army.
Right.
My job is to warn.
Right.
The enemy's coming! The enemy's coming! That's the watcher's tower man's job, is that right? Now, if you stay out there and you get destroyed by the enemy, whose fault is that? You stayed out there. My job is not to tell people you have to get saved. My job is to tell people what God said and let them make a choice. It's up to them. Notice I asked them if they want me to continue. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their life is like. It takes me longer than 4 minutes. Did you gather that?
Yeah,
but I surely can make it short. But I want to get the scriptures in there. But every step along the way, what am I doing? I'm asking them permission.
Right.
They may have to go to work. They may have been kind by letting me ask one question.
Right.
They may have been kind by saying, yeah, go ahead and show me. I'll take 4 minutes. All I got. And they're thinking, I got 6 minutes before I got to walk away. Now it's 7 minutes, and I'm asking them something else. I want them to have the opportunity to hush me up so they can go. In other words, I want to think of somebody other than myself. See, I've got to give them the opportunity. It's their life. It's their eternity. They know what God's doing in their soul. I don't know what God's doing in their soul. If they're becoming under conviction, the Holy Spirit's going to say in their mind, just continue to listen. Go ahead. Just listen. Just listen. Just listen. If they really don't have time, and they have got to go somewhere, then let them go. Because they might come. I've had people say, listen, I got to go. But I want to know more about what you're saying. Can you come back?
Right.
And I say, sure. When would you like me to come back? What's convenient for you? When we go out and talk to other people, we have to be aware that we're on their territory,
right,
at their house,
yeah,
talking to them on their time.
Yeah.
In other words, be considerate of other people. Okay? I know I went kind of quick. I went quick for you. I go quick for them. If somebody has questions, I really didn't give Brother Shelton a chance to ask me any questions because I didn't want him to. Yeah. I didn't want someone who was going to give us a hard time. I wanted you to see what normally is said. That's 99% of the people I talked to was right there. Okay? Because of the way I present it. It's all in your presentation.
Right.
Okay? Someone can tell you, listen, you old buzzard, go get a job. Be offensive. My wife got an email today from the Republican Party that said, did you die? Do you not care? Do you want Hillary Clinton to win? Oh, did you give up on the Republican? And she said, I'm not going to respond to them. And I said, I wouldn't either. That's not how you win friends and influence people.
Right.
If you really want to know what's going on with somebody, you treat them kindly.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
You treat them honestly. You treat them like you want to be treated.
Right.
You treat them like you want to be treated. Isn't there an old saying that says you win more people with... how's it go? You attract more flies with honey than you... Is that true? If I'm wanting bees, I don't want vinegar out there. I want something they're going to be attracted to. I'm supposed to be representing Jesus Christ. There's no one more attractive than Him. I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to let you ask questions of what you heard. What you heard, what question do you have? Of what you heard, what question do you have? I'm just trying to see what the board said. Go ahead. Yes?
Okay. I have a question that has nothing to do with what you just said. But, so you it seems like you don't work with little traps that you give people. You think maybe it distracts from what you have in your mind. In your mind, you already have a conversation laid out. So you think maybe the trap kind of distracts?
No, I gave him a trap. I use tracks to win someone to Christ if the track says what I want it to say.
I went over here and I'm not seeing any
tracks. I'm for tracks. Okay, I think if you can't do anything else, at least you can hand somebody a track.
Right.
The tracks we have here, they have the gospel message on the backside. These little cards right here, they all have... Those are all tracks. Okay? Yes, sir. Every person is different. So from the very beginning of the conversation, I'm learning their personality.
Right.
Okay? That's why I take some time and I talk to them. Where are you from?
Yeah.
I can tell from their answers how much time they're going... First, I can tell how much time they're going to allow me. I can tell if the conversation is going to go very far. I can tell what their attitude is. And I can tell if anything's changing. Okay? Well, I don't, it's hard to be somebody that you're not. So, if someone starts to give me any kind of hard time at all, okay, I immediately stop everything. And I say, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you letting me talk with you. Can I have a word of prayer with you before I go? Mm-hmm. Then I pray for the Holy Spirit to convince and convict them of their need to be saved. Apparently, they're not under conviction. I don't go very far before I stop. If someone starts, it's not the asking of questions, it's attitude. Okay? Yes.
So I guess, like, I have somebody who I've been trying to win, and he's very, he's not argumentative, it's just, he has a lot of questions. And do you...
Okay. Let's pretend. Okay. Let's pretend you're him, and I'm you, and I'm talking to him about Christ, okay? What's his first name?
James.
So James, Jesus says he wants to take you to heaven when you die. And so let me show you how we can do that. And then you're going to ask a question. What's one of his questions?
What proof do you have that Jesus ever walked the earth?
Well, James, that's a good question. And I promise I'll ask you to answer that question after I'm done with this.
Okay?
Give me another question. Now, he may be the kind that says, I want that question answered before we go anywhere.
It just feels like every time I try to answer his question, he always comes back with another question. And I feel like instead of leading him to Christ, I'm answering questions.
No, and that's exactly right. That's
how did you?
Okay, well, I'm going to show you how I know. That's the same thing I'm going to show you. So let me show you what I'm talking about, and then I'll answer any question you have. And that's what I always say. I'll answer any question you have when I'm done. Most of the problem is that they're not believers yet.
Right.
Okay? And just as powerful as and convicting as the Holy Spirit, just as much as the devil wants to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't answer questions. I don't answer questions until I'm done. If all they want to do is ask me questions, I say, you know what? I think the best thing for you, come to church. You come to church, and I promise those questions will get answered. It may not be answered the first week or the second week or the third week, but I promise you over time, every one of your questions will be answered.
Amen.
They don't like those answers.
What about somebody, because in your scenario, you had him say that he doesn't come to church. What about somebody who's been to church, knows the right way, they've heard it all?
They've received Christ as Savior?
He hasn't.
Okay. If they've been to church a lot, I say, if anybody says, say I go to church somewhere, tell me. Say,
yeah.
Do you get to go to church anywhere?
Yeah, all the time.
Wonderful. Where do you get to go?
Central Park.
Man, I'm so glad to hear that. That's great. I'm glad you get to go to church. I'm not off to take anybody from their church. Okay? So I don't want you to leave your church. I'm thrilled that you get to go to church. Can I ask you one question before I go?
Sure.
If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I'm right back to where I was. You see that? So I'm always positive. I'm never negative. Okay, so I'm not going to let them take me away from my purpose for being there. Before I've gone, this is what I've done. I've prayed and I've asked the Holy Spirit to lead me to someone that wants to be saved.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm looking for that one.
Right.
So if they're question filled. Now there's times I go to see a friend or a neighbor or somebody. And if they seem to be putting up a wall, it's not time yet. Okay, my mom and dad were that way. It wasn't time. Then my grandmother died. I did her funeral, and at her funeral, I gave the plan of salvation, and both my parents got saved.
I think that's where you said.
Yeah.
It's
hard. Family is just about impossible to win to Christ. It's not impossible, but they're just about. And the reason family is because they know you.
Right.
And they think you're representing you.
Right.
And I'm not. I am an idiot. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm a first-rate moron. But my Savior's not. Okay? And all I'm doing is telling you what my Savior said.
Right.
I want you to go to heaven because my Savior said it, not because I said it.
Right.
So my mom would argue, oh my goodness, my mom hated everything that had to do with being a Baptist. And that's all she saw, Baptist, Baptist, Baptist. But when I preached, she didn't think Baptist. She thought Mama. So I told Mama's, which was my grandmother's, her testimony of when she got saved and how she got saved and how she never lived for the Lord after she received Christ as Savior. And the greatest thing that she could ever receive from you is the gift of seeing you in heaven again.
Yes.
And that's what she really wanted. And that's what she told me she wanted. So she told me, if you do my funeral, Dougie, grandson, if you do my funeral, Dougie, you tell everybody I want to see them in heaven. The only way to see Grandma again, the only way to see the Mama again, is ask Jesus to save you. So let me show you how you can do that, how she did that. Both my mom and dad got saved, so they didn't see me now. Okay, but family is difficult. At my grandmother's funeral, 25 of my relatives got saved. I lost count after 25, to be honest with you. And it was probably one of the greatest services I've ever been in. I prayed like a crazy man, begged God for everything. So pray for people. Okay, pray for your family. Other questions? Any other questions? Yes?
It's not really a question, but I'm surprised that when you talked to Brother Sheldon, who assumedly was the person who didn't know anything about salvation, and you said, how would you like to, if you die, you go straight to heaven? I mean, I wonder if maybe he was thinking, well, I could want to have a funeral first. You know, I mean, I would say right there, and I'd say your soul goes to heaven.
Actually, people don't ever ask, don't ever respond that way. I've never found that. People comprehend what you're after when you ask that question. Mm-hmm. When I ask that question, if you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven?
Yes.
No, I don't. Would you like to have God's promise that no matter what happened, the very moment you die, you go straight to heaven when you die? Would you take His promise? Well, sure I would, because they're thinking about the eternity now. They're not thinking about temporal. Okay, so I really have never run into that. You know who gets all these questions all the time? Off-the-wall questions? Christians give them to you.
Yeah.
I don't mean in churches. I mean people you run in out there.
Right.
They probably went to church all their life, and they're angry at somebody or something, and they're just going to try to make you look a fool.
Right.
And they don't realize what they're attacking is Jesus Christ. So I don't want to waste my time preaching.
And I think sometimes as Christians, I think we have a tendency to think too theological when we're trying to witness to somebody.
Yep.
We got to remember we're talking to babies.
Yep. People that don't know anything. And by the way, did you see how excited I got? Did you see how excited I got once he asked Jesus in his heart? Did you see how my voice kept getting stronger and stronger and more exciting and more exciting? Why? Because he doesn't know anything but what I'm showing him. And so if I'm going, oh, well, that's good, I'm glad to hear that. Well, he thinks that's all, there's nothing to it. I'm excited for him. Man, isn't it wonderful? You just asked Jesus to come in your heart. Isn't that the greatest thing ever? Here's what I would normally say the very moment I walked away. I'd say, Larry, I know I got to go now and you got to go. But if I, and I'm walking away when I say it, if I never see you again, where will I see you one day? Yeah. Heaven. And who's going to take us there? Yeah! Isn't that great? See you later, Larry. Again, I'm getting them to understand. They don't know anything. They're an infant in Christ. Amen. That's part of my personality, though. You got to bring your personality into what you do. Okay? I'm a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt.
Yeah.
Amen?
I don't want to interrupt, but Brother Marshall made me think about